We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Patriots improved to a perfect 3-0 with a win over the Jets. Now the most comprehensive review of it begins. This is the Real Postgame Show with Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAsi, and Fred Smirlis. Broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. Presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com. And also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. This is the Real Postgame Show. Here's Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAsi, and Fred Smirlis on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, here we go. It is the Real Postgame Show. A little later than the end of the game, but, you know.
Got a chance to warm up the booth
well,
there.
Well, you know, Red Sox had to put a little spanking on the Tampa Bay Rays, you know.
Good for them.
It's been a rough season. You want to, you know, you want to end it on an up note. So here's your final 30-14, as you just heard. A very deceiving score.
Why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because the New England Patriots just totally dominated this game. All right, so your 14 points, your defense had absolutely nothing to do with it. It was a rookie special teams player who muffed a punt, okay, and it ended up becoming a touchdown for the Jets because it was right down to the 5-yard line.
Correct.
And then the other one was Stidham, a rookie quarterback in his first series in the National Football League. Probably the butterflies, a little bit nervous or whatever. Over to the receiver.
Perfect pass to the other team.
Big six. Exactly. Bingo. And there's your 14 points to the point where Brady had to come back into the game. So the first question I throw in the Real Postgame Show, usually at this time people are calling us up in blowout saying, what was Tom Brady doing in the fourth quarter? You found out today why Tom Brady plays in the fourth quarter late in game.
Correct.
There it is. Learned it today.
30-0, 6 minutes left, 30-7. They bring the other quarterback in. Instant. Now, all of a sudden, there's a chance with 6 minutes left.
And it's even worse if you had money on the Patriots and you laid out the points.
I actually tweeted out both. Why is Tom Brady in there? Why isn't Tom Brady in there? Two separate tweets.
Never ask us again why Tom Brady's not in there.
It's interesting because Belichick was careful about going overboard on this game. Yet, let me give you a couple numbers here. The Jets today were 0-for-12 on third down. They only ran four plays in the Patriots' territory the entire game. I'm sorry, people. When you see numbers like that, that tells you this was
domination.
Total
Agreed.
Domination. Total.
That'd Agreed. Be correct.
Total.
Couple of fluke plays and,
that's
and
it.
You get it.
That's it.
Yeah.
So three games into the season, that's for real defense. The coverage, the pass rush.
Let me give you another
right
one.
Right now. Three in.
Let me give you another
one. Three in.
Fred?
Three in.
Three they in. 13 more to go.
They play two junior colleges and one Division I team.
Whoever they put up there.
All
the
right?
Jets are a feisty little team.
They are.
Idiot.
So, it's the best 0-3 team in the league.
Let me get you a little bit excited there, Smirlis. And if you get too excited, make sure you see a doctor after 4 hours. Patriots, first team in the Super Bowl era to not allow a rushing or passing touchdown in the team's first three games of a season. First team to do it since the Super Bowl era. For you young people that don't understand, that's back in, what, the mid-60s?
53 years ago.
Right. There you go.
It's a long time.
A long time. All right, so they're the first team to do it.
That's correct.
And your answer is Division I team and two stiffs.
A couple of JUCO teams and one team that won't even make the a bowl game.
Tell you what, Braxton Berrios probably had the best catch for the Jets.
Oh, my God.
Agreed. Guy that was let go by the New England Patriots.
We get guys like that?
Unbelievable.
But it's legitimate pressure they're putting on a quarterback. They're doing stunts, inside and outside stunts. The linebacker, Jamie Collins,
by the way,
definitely the player of the game.
No question. Let's retire it right now, player of the game. I know we're going to do that later on. That's your player of the game. I'm telling you, you talk about a player who they jettisoned out of here, traded because they didn't want to pay him. Middle of the season after that Houston game.
A couple of problems.
What problems?
I can't tell you.
Oh, stop it.
I know.
Hey,
no,
listen.
Sworn not to say.
After this week, there are no problems. They're minor compared to what we've seen this last week.
He can play receiver, too.
But he comes back here, and he's playing at a much higher level.
Yeah.
Speed, strength.
And he's playing within the system. Remember all the freelancing talk? He's playing within the system. I agree, Fred. Yeah. Player of the game, hands down.
It's not the play that left him.
No. He dominated the Jets offense.
Absolutely.
They had no idea where he was, what he was doing. He was
too big for the backs and receivers, too fast for the linemen.
And he's still enjoying the game like we saw when he was here before. He enjoyed playing the game, but he seems to be a different kind of guy in terms of especially not so much his first few years here, but his last year here, it seemed like he was just working to get that next contract and freelancing a little bit. And he was a good enough athlete, and as we've seen, to freelance and make some plays, but he also got caught on some of those plays, too. Then you get sent to the purgatory of Cleveland, and you learn that the rest of the NFL isn't like what's going on here at the Patriots. I think he's come back, and I want to say his tail between his legs, but he's come back with a refined attitude.
Well, he got his money, too.
He got his money.
So he's got plenty of money in the bank, and now he can go back to winning championships.
But he looks like he's got a much better
focus
and idea of what needs to be done.
The focus, Steve, he had was, I want my money. And he wasn't concentrating on what he had to do. Right now,
so he needed numbers.
It's focusing on the game now, and you can see it. He's not making mistakes. He's dominating everybody. He can run guys down. He can pass rush. He can cover.
Belichick knew he was coming back when he sent him to Cleveland.
He did. Work him over a little bit. He knew it was going to happen.
He knows Garoppolo's coming back. He's got two interceptions in the first quarter of this game today.
Yeah, they're going to run him out of town on a rail in about 8 weeks.
All right, so let me give you one alarming point that I would like to make. Did anybody notice, and of course we know that Antonio Brown, who was here last week, is not here, and we'll get into a lot of Antonio Brown talk, especially after he tweeted ripping everybody apart and then deleted all of those tweets. We'll get to all of that. But here's an alarming concern. Once Julian Edelman left the game with a rib injury or a chest injury, did anybody notice that explosive offense that we had seen in the first two games and right out of the gate in today's game suddenly disappeared? Matter of fact, thank God for Josh Gordon, who was playing what looked like a dislocated finger because they had the last two fingers, index finger and the ring finger, the baby finger. They had it all taped up.
Yep.
If he doesn't make great catches, I'm not saying you lose the game, but suddenly you're sitting there going, what the hell happened to this offense?
It seemed to have a bump, though. They had a couple of offsides. They had a delay of game. And also, when Dorsett had the ball, he ran out of bounds 1 yard
before. 1 yard short.
And
that was a dumb mistake.
He could have turned it up and had it, and they didn't make it out. You got to go for that.
But I think
the offense lost its groove when he left.
Oh, no question.
You know?
I don't know. I thought the groove had gone a little bit before Edelman left the game. I thought because they went right off the bat. They were just boom, boom, boom down the field. And then it was a little while, and then Edelman gets hurt, and then it did get worse. But I thought they'd lost a little bit of their momentum or a little bit earlier than that. But now all of a sudden, compound that with, okay, we don't know what Edelman's injury is, a chest injury, upper body injury, whatever they want to call it.
Broke a ribs.
Gordon, if he's got a broken hand, a broken finger, who knows, dislocated, whatever. You know, there's
White
now
was
all of a sudden.
Out. Another guy that's
that was for that was
he'll be back.
I know that, but when he's out, because he could be a go-to guy. It's hard to cover him.
They say White was out because his wife was having a baby.
Yeah, but he wasn't in that game.
Well, Fred, think about it. You had no Devlin, and we know they love running that two-back set because they can run a boatload of crap off of that stuff. Okay, no James White. Tight end, you were down to Rizzo, who did make a catch in the game today. But let's face it, the tight end is invisible in your passing game. You had a backup at left tackle. Your right tackle was just coming back from an injury. You were struggling to run the football right out of the gate, whether it was Bolden, whether it was Sony Michel, and yet it did not seem to be a problem. To me, the problem arose once you lost Julian Edelman, a guy that was getting off of the line very quickly. Brady was just – matter of fact, if anything –
He dropped a couple, too.
Well, he dropped a couple. But the fact was that he was the one guy that he could go to and he could find some separation. You
Agreed.
Take him out of the game, you don't have Antonio Brown, and if you lose Josh Gordon, which I still say is all subject to change, we have to wait and see how this plays out. This kid's been suspended 6 times. We all hope for the best. He seems like he's got his act together.
He's got his fingers, sir.
But it's one day at a time. No, I'm talking about his other issue. It's one day at a time. You lose him. You lose Edelman.
Yep.
I'm sorry. You're going to need your defense to be able to play in the
but
teams.
But also, Glenn, if we forget how much White means to that team just being out, because he's a go-to guy when they're taking the receivers away.
I agree.
Use him.
Well, Burkett gave you a good game.
He did.
He did some of that stuff out of the backfield
for
you. But
with White in there, it's very difficult to have a linebacker on him. So that in itself hurt. But Edelman is the guy that he goes to because it's almost impossible to cover him. Right?
Yes.
So,
he's
a motivator,
right,
too. He comes out, he gets everyone fired up.
Yes. And you're right. He had a couple of drop passes, one of them where he was wide open, and it was like, but they made a first down, and the very next play went right back to him.
Right.
So, I just think it looked like a totally different offense when he left the game. And look at what happened from that point on. You had three phenomenal catches by Josh Gordon, including one on the sideline on the 4-yard line, which he was able to keep both feet in bounds. How the hell did he do that?
But I'm telling you, when we look at this game again, you're going to see that offense slowed down a little bit before Edelman's
injury. They were like three and out.
But then, to your point, you're right. It was way more pronounced after that. And he's hard to say that a, 32, 33-year-old slot receiver is that big a key to your offense. But it's true. And because he's that... He has that relationship with Brady, that trust with Josh McDaniels. You can look at him as a go-to.
Well, people keep on forgetting because the team has been so incredible in the first three games. You forget there's no Gronk here, by the way. Gronk's not here. I don't believe he's coming back.
He's coming in November.
Stop. He's not coming
back. That's what I heard.
Where did you hear that? The barbershop? Where do you hear these things?
He was talking to himself
Who's
one day.
Who's your source? Right.
Yeah. I can't tell how much source is because you take him
That's
away.
That's a good point.
You do know the difference between your wishes and reality, right?
No.
Oh, okay, well.
TMFH.
From now on, say, I hope.
I have a good feeling. Let's put it that
way. A good feeling. Okay, I'll take your good feeling. I'm not buying a good feeling, but you take him off the field. And suddenly, you need Edelman, guys. You need to move the chains. Need to move the chains.
But look, Steve was correct. With Edelman in there, they were out like a gun. They looked like the Jets were letting them have everything. Jets tightened up a lot. Tightened up the coverage. The pass rush was a little better. Got to give them a little bit of credit. A lot of teams.
There were a lot of open receivers early on in the game. Tom Half, all open receivers. The only thing that
Tom missed a couple of wide open guys too.
Tom was bad.
No,
did you riff him down?
No.
Did you just rip down?
No.
Get out of here
right now. Tom Brady.
He's human being.
Yeah, okay. It's unusual for you to rip him like that, but we'll finish it along.
300 yards, 200 touchdowns.
I don't know why you hate Brady.
The one thing I think the Jets did effectively is they stopped the run. Patriots were running on first down, obviously, try to sell it for play action, but it was so easy in the first half, Fred. They didn't need to run the football
guys open everywhere.
To sell the play action.
Right.
They didn't need it.
Right.
No. But they did tighten up, and guys were tighter coverages. Tom threw a little bit underneath. He's not trying to get Edelman killed.
Tom didn't. He didn't get hit as much either.
No, he didn't. Getting rid of the ball.
Last week, he actually got hit more. So the offensive line did a better job.
Well, I think you got to be concerned about that next week because you're going up against a Buffalo defense. You watch them, Fred.
Yep.
They're going to be far more aggressive.
Sure.
And especially if you don't have Edelman and you don't have that quick release guy, now suddenly it becomes a little bit more interesting. That's where you're right. James White plays big into that game next week. Big into that game.
Yeah, definitely will. And I'm still not sold on Buffalo being that great a team.
Pretty undefeated.
What? Yeah, they're undefeated.
You haven't lost. Not on the Buffalo show. You can sit here and talk about it.
They haven't lost. This is your sub. I'm putting a warning out there.
You can bull crap up there in the Buffalo show.
They haven't lost since last year. They won every preseason.
That's right. They've won three games. They played Cincinnati today.
3-0.
Good point.
Came back.
They barely won today.
Remember they were 5-0 one year?
Better than barely losing.
But they were down to Cincinnati late. Their offense,
the thing about Buffalo
their offense is a question.
They have a strong defense that can hang.
And the quarterback's still learning. He's still learning.
Who have they faced offensively?
Whoever they put in front of them. Whoever they put in front of them.
The Jets.
The Jets. Down by 16, come roaring back. One by one.
The Jets are not a good offense.
I was going to say, it doesn't seem like a...
Cincinnati?
It doesn't seem like a tough task to come back from 16.
How do you know this defense is good?
I watch them. You should watch them sometime.
How do you... it's Buffalo. Why would you watch them? People in Buffalo don't watch Buffalo.
I just think the Edelman thing to me...
It's going to be an 8-point game. That's what they're going to put up.
Is the biggest fear, because it's up in Buffalo, the biggest fear you would have is that you lose Edelman here for a few weeks.
Now,
granted,
right.
Schedule's not that difficult, though I agree with you, Fred. I think Buffalo could be a difficult game next week because of their defense. So suddenly, if you don't have Edelman, now suddenly you need your defense to kind of shut them out or limit them because you're not going to put a lot of points up on the board.
I have no doubt that they could slow down that Buffalo offense.
He's going to throw the ball. Yeah, he's not an accurate guy.
Right.
And I think Steve can bait him into some stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
On the offense.
No doubt. But the fact remains that this offense is, especially with Antonio Brown gone, with Gronk not in it, Edelman is absolutely going to be a huge key to this offense. No two ways about it.
And it's not a shoulder, it's a rib, correct?
I don't know. I don't know. Upper body is all I heard. Upper body injury.
Hightower left the game 2 with a shoulder injury. And remember, he had surgery on the right shoulder. This was the left shoulder.
He did.
That he was grabbing onto late in the game.
And, he's played well, too.
He's played great.
Yeah.
I mean, defensively, everybody's playing well. Right. Who's not playing well?
Agreed.
I mean, Adam Butler, another good game for him today. Yep. Right? He's making some plays.
This is the best pass rush I've seen from this team ever.
Well, it's
at
most,
the start.
Well, but they're utilizing it. Because how many times have we seen it before? Their secondary was really the best part of their defense. So what do? Instead of being proactive, you're reactive, right, to what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Now, because you've got the personnel up front and a terrific linebacking core.
That's right.
So you can put the pressure on them, and it's even much tougher to try to do anything against their secondary.
And you also,
because the quarterback's got to rush it every single time.
You also know that, and part of that comes with the faith in your secondary. This is as good a secondary they've had in a while.
Terrific.
You know, you're talking about the best corner in football. You're talking about Devin, who's a great Devin McCourty, who's a great safety.
How about the pick today? The McCourty pick today was almost as if he were the receiver out in a soft zone.
It looked like the intended receiver cut his roof.
Yeah, I think he did.
They're there to make plays, and then the pressure, 4 or 5 sacks today, something like that. Granted, you know, with Colombo there playing. Peter Falk, what's his name? Playing
Luke.
Luke Falk. But Peter's daughter, Peter's young son.
He had only one eye, right?
Good old reference. So. He had one eye. I think Falk. I think this Falk has one eye too.
But you know what? A couple times he didn't even have a chance to set his feet.
Now, agreed.
He was running all over.
But I think to your point about this defense, I think both of it plays off each other. Bill Belichick has more faith in that secondary, which is allowing him to turn the pass rush loose. The pass rush is better, which makes that secondary able to play more aggressive, too. So put all that together, I think this defense is a very good defense. I'm still waiting to face a top shelf
quarterback. So how many times have we done this over the years in doing this show? For you, all but a couple where you left us.
And you abandoned us for a while,
but that's okay.
I was on a sabbatical.
I was doing linebackers without borders somewhere.
Exactly.
Right, that's what I was doing.
How many times have we sat here and said, Ben, but don't break. You don't put the pressure. They don't rush a lot of people in the
quarterback.
Wait
till they get in the red zone.
That's it.
Things can get condensed.
Right. And so they move all the way down the field, and in the red zone, you sit there, and they limited them to 3. Not bad, okay? That's not the case anymore. This is an aggressive defense. They are coming at the quarterback. Now, it'll be interesting later on in the season when you face a guy like Lamar Jackson, who likes to run out of that pocket, Patrick Mahomes, that likes to do the same thing. It'll be interesting to see how much success they have there against those types of guys. Much
success against those guys is different. When you try and get Jackson or Mahomes and you try and charge him.
Mahomes, it's plural.
Mahomes.
You're watching the State Farm commercial.
Terrible. You got to contain them, right? Don't try and go at them and let them run around the corner. How many times today Jackson get outside the perimeter? Keep him in the pocket. Put the pressure on him and let the DBs cover the guys. Once he gets out of the pocket, they're going to come up. Then it opens guys.
I'll tell you what,
they play differently.
He had a rough game today, and yet he was still so entertaining. And at one point, two guys were taking him to the ground. And he decided he was just going to toss it out there. And he actually completed a pass down, I think, the one-yard line. His knee went down to the one-yard line. And we're sitting there, we're watching, going, you got to be kidding me. Why would you throw that? That was a prayer. He was lucky. But I would rather have him do that than get outside the pocket, which he did on their last touchdown. He got outside that pocket on the right side, and see you later. He's just skirting around
people.
Once
he gets outside, there's no one to contain him. If you keep him inside,
he can throw on a run.
And he can step up. And everyone's there, now you can put some hits on him and make him throw over you. If he's running clean, it's same with Mahomes. He's out there. If you let him out of that pocket, the Patriots have been successful by keeping Mahomes in the pocket. It limits him. Outside, he's the same thing.
Yeah, see, I think Lamar Jackson, still to this point, people were getting excited after the first 2 weeks. To me, he still has some limitations because he's as good a running quarterback as you'll ever see. But if you force him to throw the football, he's going to make mistakes. Mahomes, on the other hand, I don't know about that because he can run, but he doesn't make an awful lot of mistakes, guys. And he sees the field, sees receivers so well.
He's that rare quarterback that's fine in the pocket, fine on the run.
Yep.
He doesn't skip a beat one way or the other, and I would bet that his quarterback rating in or out of the pocket is pretty close. He is one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now. And
he's the best.
I think you're right. I think you're hitting on something there, Glenn.
Thank you. He was the MVP last year.
He was the MVP. If you look at his numbers this year.
He has no talent out there.
Who's he got?
I don't know. Some tight end that's not too bad. He's unstoppable.
Brady had Gronk forever.
Does it right now.
All right.
Still under no interceptions, my friend. But the thing about Mahomes, when you
he's thinking of the Detroit Pistons.
Hey, here's the good news.
Celtics play the Pistons in 1986.
The good news is I don't think we see the Chiefs until like game 10 or 11. By then, I think he'll have the pronunciation down.
So Rick Mahorn's playing
when
quarterback.
When they played the Patriots, right? They kept him in the pocket. He was human.
And he almost came
back.
And
the big thing, when he gets out of the pocket, the DB's got to come up and leave coverage in order to get him, and he was thrown to open guys. You can't leave your coverage.
All right, let's get you some phone calls. 617-779. Mahomes.
Don't biz like that. Rick
Mahorn.
617-779-7937. To the phone calls we go, gentlemen.
But the thing about Mahorn.
Here's Mike and Waylon. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Glenn. What's up?
Good, Mike.
Hey,
how
Mike.
Are you?
Hey, great win.
I'll take
what
it.
What happened to the offense?
Well, the offense was terrific until
the second week in a row. I don't know, Glenn. I mean, for the second week in a row, it looked like they sputtered a little bit.
Yeah, when you lost Edelman.
What today, then?
I think Tom had 315 yards.
306.
But from the middle of the first quarter till the end of the first half, they kind of like were looking get something going, didn't they?
No.
How many points did
they score? No, they
scored 30 points.
I mean,
what game did you watch?
I watched the game. I mean,
20 points in the first half.
Yeah,
I don't think they had many offensive problems
in the first quarter. In the first quarter, basically
13.
Then they looked. I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying I'm saying that obviously they won. They kicked
so 70
their butt,
points would have been much better. I agree.
70,
but
points.
It couldn't.
I mean,
it was 30 points.
They had 320 yards in the air today. Okay, their rushing game they had 68. I would agree with you. They couldn't run the football.
Michelle can't get anywhere.
Sony Michelle had 9 carries for 11 yards. That's 1.2 average. Did have a touchdown. Okay, so he had a 5-yard run.
Do you agree that they sputtered a little bit?
No, I think their running game sputtered.
Even though they kicked their butts?
The running game sputtered. The rest of the game didn't. I just mentioned before we went to you that I thought that and this worries me. If Edelman is hurt here, injured, what worried me was their offense sputtered after Julian Edelman left the game. That's an issue.
So you're making my point.
How so?
You just said the offense sputtered.
Late in the game with no Edelman. I've already made that point. But you said the first half.
Yeah.
You said it sputtered in the first half. I disagree with you. First half, they were good.
I think it did. I think it sputtered from the middle of the end of the first quarter onto the end of the half.
I'm looking at drives right now, and they're just driving and moving the ball. First drive, they started on the 10-yard line.
Hold on. Glenn's going over this for you.
I'm looking at the drives right now. They were moving the football. And, I think Edelman leaving the game, that's why the Antonio Brown thing to me is really disappointing, because I think you really could use him. Because I think you don't have great depth.
He had 4 catches in a 20-year career. What are you talking about?
What?
What? What'd you say?
Tom Brady has a 20-year career of winning year. Antonio Brown had 4 catches. How could he be missing?
I'm talking about his talent. I'm talking
one
about
game.
His talent. It was one week.
Get out of here with his talent. Get out of here.
You deny his talent?
The guy. He's a total
deny
bonehead.
Talent.
He's an idiot.
You're a fraud.
Well, wait a minute. You don't think he's talented?
Hold on.
You don't think Antonio Brown's talented?
He's making some intelligent points.
You're the moron of the cause of this team that scores 30
talented?
Points, and you think 30
he's
points,
talented,
and you have a sputter.
Who's more
all
talented?
Teams don't go over the field.
I can't.
Let him dig a hole.
It's not long enough.
Teams score 30 points. That's good. So every team gets stopped in a game sometimes. Right, the other team adjusts, they readjust. That's what happens. And when you're up 30 to nothing, things change. You don't take as many risks.
If I hear one more person come out and say, and I've heard it enough in the last couple of days, Patriots never should have brought him in here, okay, because they knew he was a problem. Well, everybody knows he's a problem. On the other hand, he's such a generational talent that you're looking at it saying, maybe we're the ones who can straighten out his act, okay? And there was no risk in this right from the get-go. You bring him in. If he's a problem, you throw his ass out. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
Now, would they be a better offense if Antonio Brown could have towed the line and been part of what they're trying to do in their passing game? Absolutely, and I think you saw it today with Edelman going down and Josh Gordon. I'll give Josh Gordon all the credit in the world. That's some real toughness out there.
Yep.
To be able to go out there with a hurt finger. He was on the sideline. He was in a lot of pain. He's back out there two series later, and he's making an impact in the game.
Right.
Big plays.
Do you think Pittsburgh misses Brown?
Sure they do.
Of course they do.
Schuster misses him on the other side.
Absolutely. Yeah. The guys, like you said, it's true. This guys like that come once every 10 years. He's a tremendous, could be the best receiver.
I didn't see that offense stuttering in halfway through the first quarter.
I didn't see it either. I'm looking at the numbers right. They were moving the ball. They couldn't move the ball in the second half because, one, they couldn't run the ball, and now suddenly when you're not running the ball, how do you move the chains? That quick little slant to Julian Edelman, boom, 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 right? Three of those, and you've got a first down to keep on moving it. They didn't have that. And you already brought it up, Fred. Philip Dorsett is a nice receiver, and I like that. And by the way, I think he got screwed today because I think he caught that ball. I think he had his hands under it. When they challenged it, I think he had that ball, so we got screwed. So it would have been 27 consecutive catches. But what you're going to see now, if you lose Edelman or if you lose Josh Gordon, you lose any of these receivers, he's going to be defended by the number one, number two corner.
Yep.
Right now, he's getting the 3, 4, and fifth corner.
Yep.
Their defensive player.
The whole thing changes.
That's
it'll be
right.
Harder.
It's a different world. And you brought the point up that there's the stick. And what does he do? He cuts
he's
out of bounds.
1 yard from the stick. 1 yard. Jumps out of bounds.
But what do you expect?
And you want to keep the clock running. You're up there, nothing.
Because he's still a relatively young player trying to figure this all out.
He's doing much better. But the guy to call up and say that it looks like they're sputtering. Every team sputters. They change and adjust to what the other team adjusts to. And if you're up 30 points, you don't want to throw an interception or you don't want to have a give him a gift, which you gave him two gifts.
Let me go to Lucas. Lucas is in Vermont. Hey, Lucas.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good. So, I got a question for you. So, you know, a lot of analysts are predicting the Patriots to go 16-0.
Nobody is.
Fred, that's it.
They're expecting them to win the East and fight for a number one seed in the AFC. But I can't believe anybody with any credibility is going to say they're going to go 16-0 after two games, three games.
You know, it's funny. We haven't heard that at all. Virtually, I haven't heard.
Really?
Well,
yeah.
I know what's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm saying is, you'd think with the firepower they had going on with Pittsburgh and Miami that they would have said that.
Now, you might have heard it. Where'd you hear the 16-0 talk from?
I don't remember his name, but it was some guy on the NFL Network.
One guy on the NFL
Network. It was the janitor.
It was after the last game of the preseason. It was before any game started.
Yeah, okay. Pipe dream again. How many teams have gone 16-0? One. How many teams have gone 14-0? One. I get it. I don't know if anybody was reasonable in terms of thinking that the Patriots were going to go. It's so hard to do.
It's so early, too, in the season.
So early.
You know, fluky things can happen. Even in the 16-0 season, if you remember, they started to teeter as the season progressed toward the end, including that Giants game that they had to win that all the networks broadcast. That was a shaky
game. Anyway, we got sidetracked there. What were you going to say about the Patriots now?
So, you know, the first half of the season, it seems like, you know, we're playing a lot of, you know, lower-tier teams. Second half of the season, though, looks kind of tough. You know, with the Browns, maybe, you know, they could pull something off. The Ravens, you guys already touched on the Ravens with, you know, Lamar Jackson. But Cowboys, Chiefs, you know, how comfortable are you guys with this team right now if they were to, you know, go against them?
First off, Patriots, Belichick, Brady, I'm confident that they can win any game they go into. Are they going to? No, they're not going to go 16-0. But, you know, the Cowboys game, that's up here, is it?
Yes.
Kansas City game here. That certainly helps.
In Philadelphia, and you got to be you don't know where Philly's going to be at the end of the season.
After what Philly did today, I doubt Philly's going to do anything this season.
Well, let me ask you this. Did you say the same thing last year when the Patriots got blown out in Detroit?
Or Miami.
Early in the year. Yeah. See, I don't think you can really take what happens early in the season. Philly's coming off of a game. Was it a Monday night game where they had all those injuries, or was it Sunday night? I can't remember. But they had tons of injuries in that game. I would watch out. They're still loaded with talent. They have a legitimate quarterback who's not played well to this point.
Yep, terrible.
I would, and they've been there before.
They will.
But the coach has been there before.
Odds are they'll square away and they'll vie with the Cowboys for the NFC East. But it's awfully early to predict anything.
Right.
Buffalo's 3-0.
Right.
Does anybody predict them to even make the playoffs?
Fred, did you pick them this year?
In preseason. But last year, when they got beat by Miami.
They won seven in a row now.
When they got beat by Miami, right? And they got beat by Pittsburgh last year, and Tom throwing the ball. Everyone's like, oh, my God, it's coming to crash. And it's coming. Then they come up and beat Mahomes, right? And they beat the good team. They beat a bunch of good teams, but they lost to a couple of crappy teams.
See, that's why I don't count.
That's what happened.
That's why I don't count out teams that have been there before.
Exactly,
and the Eagles
right.
have been there before. I don't count them out.
Yep.
You can't. Because they're going to figure it out between now and the end of the season. The one thing I will say about the, and he was right, second half of the season, just before the bye, they go to Baltimore. And then after that, after the bye, then they have the four games in a row, Dallas, Cleveland, Kansas City. Those are rough games. But
right.
they get Kansas City at home. They get Cleveland at home. They get Kansas Dallas City. They get Dallas at home.
Well, he also mentioned, the caller also mentioned the upper half of the league. I don't think you can. I don't think there's half the teams can you can put in that upper level.
How many
Kansas City?
How many in the Kansas City? Okay,
Kansas City.
Baltimore looks okay. The Chargers should be okay. Who else?
Nobody.
Who else?
Buffalo, right, Fred?
Buffalo.
Yeah.
Buffalo.
I mean, you could probably you can stretch it to five or six teams in the AFC that you think will represent that might have a chance to represent in the Super Bowl. After that, those ten other teams are. Probably not going to be part of the equation.
But we know how it works with this team. When you're playing the really good teams at home, they usually win them. When they have to go out on the road against really good teams, then, you know, all bets are off.
So
can they win in Philly? Can they win in Baltimore? Because I think they take care of business.
They did last year, right? Didn't they beat in Philly? I mean, at Baltimore?
And
they beat Mahomes
they
home
beat
and
twice.
Away.
They beat them twice.
Twice.
They beat them.
So those are the tough teams. The Patriots, you know, there's always say who are they going to lose to? They're going to be favored every game. They're going to lose to somebody you don't expect.
Somebody will be better in the AFC than what we're seeing right now.
Yeah.
Some team will step up. Well, I don't know if it's going to be Houston or maybe Jacksonville turns things around. I don't know. But there'll be some teams that you're not necessarily expecting right now. But I said it last year. I've said it in many years. Where the Patriots may have struggled at for two or three weeks during the season. Tell me how healthy you are in the playoffs. Tell me how well you're playing going into the playoffs, even though that didn't really hold true last year. They didn't finish the season on fire.
No, I actually think after they lost the miracle in Miami, and people talk about, well, it was one play. They didn't play well in that game.
They didn't.
Okay?
Right.
And then the very next week, you figure they go to Pittsburgh. This is a team they normally
own.
Dominate.
Yep.
They own, and they struggled, and they lost that
Made
game.
Mistakes.
Now you're sitting there going, oh, wait a minute. Maybe this team's not as good as we
right.
thought they were.
Right.
And yet they got their act together.
When San Diego came up here, a lot of people
LA.
Thought San Diego, well, back then, L.A. Rams now, L.A. Chargers.
Raiders.
L.A. Chargers.
Raiders or Chargers?
Chargers. They're
L.A. Rams.
Chargers came up, and we thought it was going to be a good game, and they blew them off the face of the earth.
Well, the Chargers were playing well, but if you remember, they traveled the week before.
Yep.
Then they had a long travel here. So, I mean, who knows? Teams like this are going to get their act together. So even if they were struggling right now, we've seen that in the first four games. They're going to get their act together. This year, they're not struggling out of the gate. But a team like Philadelphia, I'm going to take a wait-and-see attitude.
Agreed.
I just think they can,
Absolutely
they
agreed.
Can get their act together.
I'll tell you who's out of it.
Who's that?
New York Giants just lost Saquon Barkley.
Did they?
What happened to him?
Knee injury. Basically helped off the field by two guys into the locker room. They carried him up.
Yeah, that is not good. There's their offense, their entire offense.
That was the weapon.
Maybe they can play both Eli and Daniel Jones together. Have two passing guys.
Jones
that
can run.
Before?
Jones can play running
right,
back.
That's what I mean.
Put
yeah.
Eli
put
at
both
right.
of them back.
Flea flickers.
Put Eli at fullback.
Yeah,
they do that. And they're coming to town here.
They are. Yes, they are.
They're coming to town.
Looking forward to seeing my son.
So, are you coming out with the Giants with the banner for that game?
I'll probably host a big pep rally. How's that sound?
So, I heard you were taking the banner next week for up in Buffalo. No,
they asked me to lead the Buffalo Bills on the field.
And what did you tell them? F you.
Yeah. My house isn't fireproof.
Yeah,
I love you guys, but I love both teams.
Yeah, and
I like my two children.
And the franchise should support you more in the bid for the Hall of Fame, too.
Yeah. You should have said that to him. At least Steve
That's
had an excuse,
yeah.
you know. He had his son playing for the Giants,
right.
you know. He
and,
had a legitimate
And I won a
reason.
Championship there.
Right, it was family.
Right.
You, on the other hand, I can't believe they asked you to do it. When you work and live down here in New England.
And they don't,
well, I'm up
and,
there a lot.
And they don't support you like they should for the
they
Hall of Fame.
Right. They don't support you at all. Everybody
I
else.
I don't know why they don't like me.
They put They put Tasker up there every year.
Special team guys. They put special team guys.
Tallies up. And
every year.
And you don't get up there. All right, 617-779-7937. Load up the phone lines because we came on after the Red Sox and we got open lines.
How about
you.
Some good calls?
Right, some good calls.
Ripping
Let's get
the
some
Patriots
good calls.
Putting 30 points up.
They gave up 14.
They're
what are
just
you talking
pointing,
about?
They're just pointing things out. They're
pointing
not ripping
out.
Them.
All right, back to the phone calls coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get you back to the real post-game show. It's Glenn Ordway, Steve D'Ossi, and Fred Smirlis. The Patriots take down the Jets in Week 3. Talk about it now on the real post-game show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Brady looking to the side, caught by Gordon, right in front of Roberts. What a catch at the 4, first and goal, 28-yard pickup.
All right, back down here in Foxborough, the real post-game show. Interesting, we came in here this afternoon, and the shed was like 110 degrees. Well, mm-hmm. We opened up all the windows, and anytime you do that, there's a little bit of concern, because you get, few of the fans liquored up,
Yahoo's.
And they come over here and they start dropping F-bombs or whatever, and then Ryan's back there pushing buttons and, you know, working his fingers to a tatter. But people have been nice today so far with the windows open.
It's the callers that get bad, not the...
And now we've got the breeze, and it actually, I think it's down to about 87 in here, which is not bad.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Not bad.
Luffy promised us air conditioner, though.
Yeah, well, he lies. He just lies. James is in Norwich. He's next up here on the Real Post
Game Show. Hey, James.
James?
How are the football gurus doing?
What's going on, James?
I want to just say that you're the only three of a kind that can beat Full House.
Thank
so,
you.
So, that being said,
comedy.
I thought the game was fantastic. The offense was cooking, and the defense was phenomenal. Now, that being said, the caller before, he was disappointed. He said he didn't understand what happened to the offense. They're up 20-0. So, things are going to be a little different.
Things
They're not
change.
Going to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
yep.
everything's going good. You know, I'd like to see them go out 20-0 and don't have to press. You know what I mean?
Well, I to Glenn's point, I will say that it seemed like without Edelman in there, things are different, that offense.
By the
it
way,
has to be.
X-rays on the chest, negative.
Good to hear.
And also, when you're up by 30 points or 20 points, you don't want to throw interceptions or give them anything easy like we did with the punt that fumbled in the interception. They want to pound the ball, keep the ball low so it doesn't deflect and get in someone's hands. You're up 30 points. They have virtually no chance to come back because the defense is so dominant. So why would you take risks? You
don't I agree. To. Absolutely.
Go ahead. Help yourself.
Now, if they can bring the mentality in and say, you know, tighten things up a little bit and say, all right, we're going to run. Now we're up, you know, mix up a little bit, but run most of the time. Work on the clock, work on yardage, you know.
James, running was a problem today, and I think no James Devlin, no James White, but to a lesser degree because he's more into their passing game. But James Devlin, people forget how valuable that guy is. And especially when they can throw the two-back set out there and you think they're going to run the football, and then suddenly they're throwing the football.
And the whole linebacker crew is up at the line of scrimmage.
To a James White,
right,
who's lined up behind Devlin. It changes everything.
Yeah.
So it keeps the defense totally off guard. So I think that was a factor. The running game was a problem today. Gostkowski missing another point after. That was a problem. And then, by the way, the second one just barely got through the uprights on the right side. So that was a little shaky. From that point on, he was clean. And the other one, you were talking about Gunnar Olszewski. One thing I'll say that was good, the very next punt that he had to return, he got an 11-yard gain, and the kid played with great confidence.
Put him right back in there. You thought maybe Chung or somebody would come in, but, they put him right back in there, and it's Belichick showing faith, that's all.
Yeah,
plus he knows he needs him. Edelman's hurt. You
good
need
point.
To have him in there.
It's a good point.
No,
he came through flying colors. So there was a couple of glitches that cost him 14 points, but the game was never in doubt. It was a complete domination, especially by the defense, and the offense had the ball. You know, way more than they did. That's what you want to do.
Yep. All right, Matt is in Orleans. Next up here on EEI. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. What a beautiful day for football, huh?
Yeah. Ooh. Beautiful day to go to the beach.
Ooh.
Listen, the defense, this defense is epic. Don't let the score fool you. This defense is historic, man.
It's not fooling us. It's fooling somebody, but it's not fooling us.
I mean, we haven't played a lot of great teams yet, but I
think there you go.
This defense is...
You just played a backup quarterback. Third-string quarterback today, You're not getting a lot of credit for that. Last week it was Miami, whose offense can barely score points. A little better, more credits down there. Pittsburgh's offense, we've seen that struggle for the first 3 weeks. I'm not going to label this defense anything yet until you start hitting some of the meteor schedule.
But the thing about it, Steve, this team has more talent with linebackers, defensive backs, defensive line looks better.
That's all true.
The most talented I've seen this team.
We're doing what we're supposed to, brother.
You're right.
Dominating for the Chiefs right now.
You're absolutely correct. And once you get in that habit of playing defense that way, that becomes a repetitive scenario. You end up flying around, and it even feeds off of it. If you know you're a team that can put pressure on a quarterback, then you're fired up to get at that quarterback even more. But again, let's not go crazy on anything, offensively or defensively, with this team because they haven't played anyone yet.
I think that's the real test. You're waiting to see a really offensive-minded team.
And there's, what, four or five?
Yeah, there aren't a lot of them anymore. And obviously Kansas City is the one that comes to mind.
The thing that gets me is the reporters and the prognosticators say they're not talented.
Who said that?
They would say this is not a talented bunch of guys.
No, what they're saying is that they don't have any marquee players.
That's
what they're saying.
No,
they don't have any marquee players.
Steven, they're not.
Nobody's saying they're not talented.
Listen, I know you're on the
page. They're saying they don't have a marquee player.
Star player.
We look at this defense, the defensive backs, front line's playing great. The linebackers.
They don't have a J.J., but they're looking at that.
But hold on a second. It's pretty much understood that Stephon Gilmore is the best cornerback in the league. That's been said by a lot of people.
What I'm saying is a lot of people say they don't have a marquee player. Right there.
About best corner in the league.
McCourty, top three safety.
I agree with you guys. I'm hearing it all the time, but this team has a lot of talent defense.
I know. Michael Bennett's been pretty good elsewhere where he's been. Anybody noticed, he's been pretty good here.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just that you're right. The defense collectively is so freaking good, people aren't honing in. I would say this right now. If he continues to play like this, Jamie Collins is an all-pro linebacker.
Agreed.
In this league.
Absolutely.
Right now, he's just... Hightower's been terrific.
Right.
Jamie Collins has been out of world here.
Well, the thing about Jamie Collins is we know and we've seen that he has that level of talent. Now it's just a matter of doing it the right way with the team that he's with and a team that's successful. That certainly helps you with all pro too. So
sure does.
We're not surprised by his talent level, are we?
No.
We've seen that before.
Right. We're surprised by his focus.
Just seeing a little undisciplined and, you know.
Right. I get it. Sometimes young guys do that. Sometimes when you're chasing the money, you do that. I get it. I don't get it because I don't know that talent level, but I understand those things happen. And I think in his second go-around here with the Patriots, so far, he looks like he's understanding that his role in that defense.
This defensive line plays better. They play better with their hands. They're playing better two-gapping.
And they've got a good number of guys that can do it.
That's right.
So let me ask you this. If they continue to play like this, okay, throughout the entire season, you don't think there'll be three or four players that'll be picked Pro Bowl players
absolutely
on this team?
There should be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but people
say. Kyle Van Noy has not developed into a hell of a player.
Certainly has.
There's a lot of guys out there with a lot of talent, but I'm trying to that front line, a lot of times they were standing up last year. They're taking angles, the wrong angle. They're playing real well with the wall, letting the linebackers run because the linebackers who make all the tackles. They're fast.
But you're playing better now?
This year. Together than I've
and
seen.
They won
play
a Super Bowl last year.
That's right.
Imagine what they're going to do this year.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. They're going to have to like crown them and.
Fred, they might go 25-0. Forget about 16.
Right.
25-0.
We'll be part of the parade, Steve. You're right.
Might be the start of a dynasty.
Might be the greatest team ever.
Right.
16-0.
But the way they're playing right now, and you already said it earlier, we were talking about they were reacting as opposed to being proactive, chasing quarterbacks. That's been a criticism that's been levied on this team for 20 years. Why don't they sack quarterbacks? Well, now you can do it because you've got the personnel to do it on the first two levels. And then you've got the secondary, okay, that you know is really good. So
blitz with good coverage guys.
Okay, but they'll start getting credit. If this team continues to play every week like they're playing in the first 3 weeks and they go against good talent, these guys are going to become marquee defensive players. They're going to get notoriety.
And here's the constant rhetoric you hear about Belichick in terms of is the bend but don't break, whatever. Belichick forever has been putting guys in a position to be successful. It's never been about...
Kyle Van Noy is a great example of that. Bringing him in here. John Simon, a great example of that.
All the way back to McGinnis. Yeah.
It's never been a situation where Belichick says, this is exactly how we're going to play defense. It's always been, I'm going to use the players that I have to the best of our ability. And now he's got a situation where He's got guys up front that can put pressure on the quarterback. He's got guys in the secondary that can cover. He's got a very talented defense. Will they rank amongst the best Patriots defenses ever? We'll let that be seen. But he's not coaching any different. He's doing the exact same thing. He's putting his players in a position to succeed. It just so happens that there's a talent level right now that allows him to do what he's doing.
One thing you said, Steve, they said he's the worst player personnel guy there is. His drafts are terrible.
Who said that?
No, when they say that about him,
right,
then you say he must be the greatest coach in the history of anything.
Because if they're playing this good.
Yeah, but I think they're wrong.
Because what he does is he understands a guy's limitations.
Yes.
When Vrabel came here, McGinnis was here, Brewski.
I'll put it differently. Not that he understands, he does understand the limitations, you're correct, but he also sees how he can use their talents to the best. That's even if not more important, that you're exactly right. He's always done that. And with this defense, it looks like he's got a plethora of talents, and he's put these guys in a position to succeed. And with the guys that can rush the passer like they have, that's part of the success.
They're going to get notoriety, Fred. As the season progresses on, they're going
to listen to our show, they'll hear the truth. You'd be led down the wrong path.
Everybody hates the Patriots.
Even with Fred on the watch,
they still hate him.
Someone would have to tell the truth. It's a burden that I accept.
All right.
When a 15-0, Glenn, and you're bidding against them.
Whatever you want to say. It's time for the one and only Jimmy from Saugus.
Jimmy!
TB12, it is Barry Band of Patriots Zone has just completed a difficult and tough bombing run of the Jets.
God, it's like reading, it's like reading an Antonio Brown tweet right there. I have no idea what he just said.
Jets bombing
Jimmy,
mission.
Jimmy became great being short and sweet.
It's not sweet.
Do what Belichick does. Take advantage of your talent. Short and sweet is better for you. That was convoluted, and I'm not even sure what you said.
But you got to compare it to other Jimmy stuff. That's not that bad.
Yeah, the Jimmy stuff was better.
This was better.
Short and sweet. This wasn't better.
Better than some of that.
It was like he was playing the Jets today. He didn't care.
You two must speak a language that nobody else understands.
Yeah. Well, Steve, it's called football.
Mahomie speak. This hour being brought to you by Audi Village of Norwell. The entire program, our presenting sponsor of the Real Post Game Show, is Kaplansky Insurance. I'm back with more phone calls. 617-779-7937. Hey, the Red Sox game is over. You can call us now.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Real Post Game Show. The Patriots take down the Jets in Week 3. Talk about it right now on the Real Post Game Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Caught a fair catch, plus 50 situation, and like I told him, I lost focus, didn't look it all the way in, and it went through my hands, you know. So, unacceptable. Like I said, there's no excuse for it.
What'd your teammates say to you after that?
They told me to pick my head up, we got a little more game to play, and don't let it happen again.
That's Gunner. Olszewski, okay over there, Freddie? Freddie said, just spilled a Diet Coke. You all right? You need some help? Somebody get some help for Fred. Anybody got a mop? Fred's having a rough day, boy. I'll tell you what. All right, 617-779-7 here. After being on Twitter for 62 years, Steve DiAzzi finally got the ultimate blue check mark.
I did.
Finally got it yesterday. Yep. And Fred didn't get it because he's a right-wing nutjob, and we know what Twitter thinks politically.
I'm not right-wing. I'm right. They changed it from right-wing to right.
You got no chance of ever seeing it.
Blue check mark guy.
Yep. That's right.
Congratulations, Steve. Chance,
yeah.
Well, listen,
that's probably why we're all blue today.
You know what it is? It's one of those things,
Steve?
When you speak.
Took you long enough, Steve.
When you speak. I didn't ask. When you speak the truth, when you're succinct and you're witty, people pay attention. I'm just saying.
When you're in stink and you have...
When you're politically correct, you say all the right things.
He's not politically correct.
That's me. How many? How many do I have?
How many does he have, Ryan?
Where do you see that?
6,110.
Where do you see that?
Fred, how many do you have?
Oh, really?
I think 12,000.
Fred has 12,000. He has.
And he's not verified.
He's not verified. Because
they're all in Buffalo. They're all in Buffalo. That's not like in America.
No, Elizabeth Warren's on my Twitter.
She follows you?
Oh, yeah. Follows me with the knife.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, with an Indian headband.
That's right. So that's not a lot, right? 6,000? That's not a lot.
6,000, not a lot.
I don't know.
For a guy that
I don't know.
Played for the Giants and has like Super Bowl rings and stuff like that.
I don't care.
And the Jets.
But you got the blue check mark. What do you care?
Fred
will never get the blue check.
You're right.
Trust me.
I'm official.
Yeah.
That's right.
Congratulations, Steve.
You know I'm on Twitter by accident.
What do you mean you were by
accident? I was on with Butch Stearns one time on a Saturday or something, and he gives his Twitter handle. This was 5-6 years ago. And the producer says, "What's your Twitter handle, Steve?" I'm like, "Oh no." Butch says, "What's your Twitter handle?" I was like, "I don't really do that, right?" The producer, I don't remember who it was, comes in.
Lumpy?
He comes in, literally
Cracker?
80 seconds later, says, "Here, you're now at Steve Viasse on Twitter." I don't want that. He goes, "I know, but the minute you said you weren't on it, somebody was going to grab that name."
Wow.
And I didn't pay attention for a year. Then I was like,
"You lost your virginity."
Let me watch that. I started
Butch
hammering.
Stearns, yeah. Social media dictator, just setting up the world.
What's yours?
What's
your Twitter?
At Glenn D. Ordway. D is in dope.
The D-bag.
Dope. Yeah.
And now all I do
I
just comment on Fred's absurd tweets and, you know.
All right, talking about absurd tweets, Antonio Brown cannot help himself.
Oh, my gosh.
He cannot help himself. So, okay. So he's jettisoned out of here on Friday because the dumbass decides, even though Bill Belichick said to him, anything that happened in the past is in the past. We start it
you
all
have
over.
No past,
brand new page. Here's what we're doing.
Right.
Brand new page. We start everything here. So everything you do here is how you're going to be judged. So think about this. You screw up numerous times in the past, and you have an organization here, a great organization that wins all the time, that's willing to bury the past and bring you in, even though there are the social media moral police out there that are sitting there going, what the hell is Belichick doing bringing the guy in? Well, you're bringing him in because the guy can play. That's what you're doing, right?
Yep.
So they're all over you, but Belichick doesn't care. It's about winning.
He wasn't convicted,
right?
Of anything,
and he
assumed that he could have him toe the line.
Correct.
Yep.
Okay. Which guys do all the time? Organizations do it all the time. They give second, third, fourth chances.
When you're that talented,
players that are great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you suck, you never get a second opportunity. If you're a great player, you get them.
So it's like the radio because you keep getting opportunities.
Same thing. And I keep getting
great talent.
Great talent, but you suck. You're really good.
Right. So they give him a clean slate, and what does he do?
Spit on it.
Sports Illustrated comes out with a story. So be it. Belichick is willing to look the other way. Maybe not look the other way. They're probably checking some of this stuff out. But they're certainly not condemning the guy right away.
Yep.
They want to find
innocent
out where.
Well, let's just say innocent until you get confected.
Right. So what does he do? Yeah. What does he do? He goes out there and starts tweeting to his attorney, a couple of other of his bozo friends, and the woman, the artist who was mentioned in the Sports Illustrated piece, even though she admitted that he did pay her for the painting. He owed $750 for another painting that was part of charity or whatever.
Right.
And he puts pictures on there with her kids basically saying she's poor, she's got no money, look at what the kids are wearing. He's doing stuff like that. How stupid are you? You are poor shaming a woman.
Yep.
And this is a guy, by the way, that grew up with nothing.
Nothing.
He was poor at one time. So maybe she's in the same predicament you were in at one time, dumbass. But you are so talented, you're able to get beyond that with one skill in life.
You could scoot it along.
Exactly. Right. And she doesn't have it.
Yep.
And what does he do? He texts out while he's here at the facility. They look at the time. They're
location,
sitting there going, what the bleep are you doing? And they finally just say,
did Bill ever talk to him again?
Enough is. I have no. Bill's not talking about it.
Nope.
I don't know if you heard Bill today. Dana Jacobs before
hear?
The game
yeah.
is asking Bill, and Bill said, "You know, we're on to the Jets. We're on to the Jets."
Right.
He's going to do the same thing to us tomorrow. We're going to bring it up. We're on to Buffalo. All right. He erases it because he doesn't want to give any of this stuff shelf life. I can't blame Bill. It's worked for him successfully for 20 years. Just don't give a story shelf life. Because that's
I think
what...
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what was the final straw with Antonio Brown?
Yeah, we're focused on the Jets today.
Thank you, Coach.
That sums it up.
She gave him that little stink eye, too. I've seen that a few times over the years.
Bill's giving him more stink eye.
How stupid can you be? Then what he does is he comes out and he tweets nicely. Thanks to Tom Brady, the best. Yep. I love you. And Brady is giving him heart emojis back. And he's thanking Bill Belichick and Howard. So you're sitting there going, he seems to be fine with
right.
this. What is he thinking? He's walking away from a gig. Does he think he's just going to move on down? The next team's going to pick him
yes.
up? But he's doing all of this nicely. 2 days later, it is Sunday morning. He is out there ripping everybody. He's ripping Kraft. He's bringing up Kraft's discretion.
He's having a fit.
He's having sharp.
He's going at Ben Roethlisberger. He's printing, he's posting, rather, the story about him with a sexual assault from how many years ago?
Shannon Sharp.
He's going at him because Shannon Sharp apparently said something negative about him on TV today. He's ripping everybody. Then he's ripping the people that were commentating, that were putting comments to the Sports Illustrated story, which were New England fans. And then what does he do? Finally must have realized it, or Drew Rosenhaus must have called him up and said, listen, dude, I got to tell you, I get 2.5%. This is the hardest 2.5% I've ever got in my life. It's 2.5% of virtually nothing.
I'll tell you exactly.
Stop. Yeah. You can't do this. I can't get you a job.
I'll tell you exactly what happened.
And he deleted them all.
I'll tell you what happened. On Friday, after when he got released, he's thinking, okay, someone else is going to pick me up. 2 days go by, he realizes the phone's not ringing off the hook. Now he goes ballistic. That's exactly what happened. It became obvious after 2 days that he was too hot to touch and nobody was gonna go. So now he's angry. Now he's ruled by his emotions and he's you know, not for nothing, but I've seen it happen a lot. You know, a guy makes a lot of money. He thinks he's successful. If he's successful, he thinks he's smart.
Right.
He's not that good at this.
He's not that smart either.
No, he's not that good
at this.
He's
pretty dumb.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be dumb to do this.
And he's not logical. He hasn't figured out.
You know what? I don't care. He hasn't had to figure it out
because everyone was kissing his ass and pushing him along.
I've had dumb teammates that you can get along with. I was a dumb teammate that you could get along with.
I'm not part of this.
This is a special team right here. But at some point, somebody important in his life has to step in and nobody, I guess.
Because you know what he does? He attaches himself to people.
Yeah.
He tells them, I've got this great business proposition. We'll do it together. And then he stiffs them.
Right.
And then he moves on to the next person, and he does the exact same thing. He just attaches and separates.
Because he hasn't faced the firing line because this was talent. Right. All the way on.
Finally, at age 31, people are saying no to him.
Yeah.
When his entire life, nobody said no to him.
I'm all about second chances. I've been the beneficiary of a couple myself here and there. I'm all about that. And I thought this was a phenomenal second chance for him, pending the outcome of the litigation, whatever. And he just throws it away.
He doesn't realize that, Steve.
Or he does
so
now. That's why he went off.
In his own little world, because he's such a great player, I'm going to play. They have to use me, and they're not, and he's freaking out. I'd worry about a guy like that putting his head in a noose because he's going to be left alone.
No, I'd be concerned about how this thing ends because he's not stable. There's no question about that.
His crutch was football.
And he got enabled a little bit here because Ian Rappaport had a story out that there were Patriot players here who were not happy the way it ended because they liked him. They thought he could bring a whole different element to the team. So he might have felt enabled even more. But I agree with you, Steve. I think he finally realized that maybe Rosenhaus said, boy, they're not calling. The NFL did another cute thing. The NFL came out and said, we're not going to put him on the exempt list right now. We're going to continue the investigation. We're not going to put him on the exempt list because he's not with the team right now. But we want everybody to know that if any team picks him up, the door is still open for us to put him on the exempt list, take action against him based on what the investigation proves. Now, suddenly, if you're a team thinking about picking him up, now you've got to deal with all of the new information. Belichick didn't have all the sexual assault and all this other stuff. They might have known about it. I don't know. I don't know how deep they knew.
You might not know the severity of it.
But the public didn't know about it. So the Patriots were behind the scenes being able to do this. Now the entire world knows about the sexual assault. They know about the way he has reacted to these women. So even if he's totally innocent on this stuff, you're sitting there going, and he lacks respect for women. This is the way he's going to. If you're another team, you're sitting there going, and on top of that, if we sign him, the commissioner might suspend him and put him on the exempt list just like that. We're screwed.
But here's the problem about him. He painted such a bad picture of himself when he was with Pittsburgh, you know, going after Roethlisberger, going after the coach, videoing in the locker room after the game, right? Then he gets in the stuff he did with Mayock, you know, call him all names. He looked like an idiot coming in. And so people hated him before they knew about
the sexual stuff. So let me ask you this, because you guys have run businesses, you've also been employees before. So he comes out this morning, and I'm a team, I'm an owner who's kind of interested because the lure of the talent of Antonio Brown, ooh, it's exciting, and I know there's some other stuff. He's out there bad-mouthing Robert Kraft, mm-hmm. one of the other mm-hmm. owners, and you're an owner. And before the general manager or the coach of that team can get him on the team, he's got to go to his owner and say, I really think we should bring this guy in. If you're one of those owners and you're seeing these tweets about him going at Kraft, you think anyone, because the same thing could happen to you. You could have him for 2 weeks, and then you could blow him out the door, and he's ripping Arthur Blank or one of these other owners, right?
It would have to be a team desperate who thinks they're on the verge, a great player away from competing in for the playoffs. And even then, that ownership thing that you talk about comes into play.
Steven, how about the team that brings you in? The Raiders, you already dumped all over them. That's right? The team that picks someone up at the end. They pick criminals up. We had Charles Haley on our team, you know. Bad guy, they brought him in.
Hall of Fame.
Control him.
Hall of Fame.
But he was a bad guy.
Hall of Fame.
But they got control of him. You know, they had a guy in for Edwards. But you saw, because he's a super talent. That's why he went.
He's not as bad as O.J.
No. O.J. did after his...
Yeah, but Charles was bad to his teammates while he was playing.
Let's take a break, and then we'll open up the phone calls, and people may want to talk about this. Because I think it's a shame. Because I think he could have helped this team. He could have been a big plus. And you already saw it today when Edelman left the game. This offense was not the same with Julian Edelman out of the game. And Josh Gordon, who was hurt with his finger, you know, gutted through it and made some big catches. But the offense really sputtered from that point on when he left. And if Antonio Brown were out there today in this game, this might have been a 40 or 50-point win. Okay? Might have easily been.
Right.
All right, 617-779-7937 to the phone calls next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.